Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. My host, JP John Paz, with me today, very special guest, former four-time OVW World Heavyweight Champion, former OVW Tag Team Champion, former WWF Superstar, Mr. Paul Burchill. Burchill, welcome to two-man power trip. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. That's a good intro there. I like that. Thanks for acknowledging all my OVW and my tag team accolades there.
Yes. And of course, today talking about World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling, the Reunion 3 Cavalcade of Legends, Saturday, March 9th, obviously coming up very, very soon at the OUC Shoemaker Center in Chillicothe, Ohio. Yeah. Big Fan Fest, Super Show, and Q&A. Tell me all about the big show coming up.
Pretty excited about it, actually. I attended the one back in September. And actually, how it came about was a friend of mine, Brian Asbury. We had done it. We had done a podcast together, a bit before that. And he had contacted me about, doing the sign. And I kind of never really wanted to do those over the years. I kind of stayed away from them and just wasn't, I just kind of wasn't, everything else going on wasn't interested. But I was like, oh, that'll probably be fun. It's a couple hours away from the house. Go down and just see, and I kind of saw who was on it, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen Harry in a while, Harry Smith, there's a few other people. I was like, okay, well, this will be fun. And then I noticed there was a show, and I kind of had reached out and thought that might be something to do. Two of my kids have never seen me wrestle, One of my oldest, he grew up around in the locker rooms, the vacation every year was WrestleMania and kind of just because of a busy schedule and that. But, and my next oldest, my 13-year-old, had seen me through, over the years I'd done odd appearances, but I thought it would be a good opportunity to do that. And, I got offered the chance to wrestle Gangrel, which was the perfect match for me. And, I was in good shape and everything. So I kind of went ahead and did it and just absolutely loved it. Enjoyed it, felt great, felt just like I hadn't missed a step. And it was a great experience. Great group of guys there that are putting it together, and it's well run. Heck of a crowd. I mean, it's just, yeah, it was something like 2,500 people there. I was like, okay, this is fun. This is, you know, it's always nice to work in front of a big electric crowd that are really into it. Reminded me of some of the shows we do back in England, the All-Star shows, where the crowd were just, you know, big crowds, but super into it. No one's sitting on their hands, just kind of enjoying it, enjoying the atmosphere. But went and did that. And then of course, few things now since then have kind of in a good way cascaded in terms of, you know, wrestling. And, you know, I just use the term dipping my toes back in. And then was, you know, I kind of was talking to the organizer again about this upcoming one. And I was like, absolutely, why not? I enjoyed it so much. So I'm going to be meeting and greeting, and I'm going to be in full on pirate mode. It is in all the gear. I'm going to be just doing it for the fans. So we'll do the meet and greet during the day, and then on the show later on, tentatively not exactly sure what we've got organized for. Maybe a battle royal, we'll see. Maybe a whatever, to be honest. But I will be in full-on pirate mode for that as well, so that'll be a good time. Looking forward to it. Always enjoy doing it. I've done it one time since WWE on a show in Cleveland, which was an unbelievable amount of fun. And then really, it's one of those where you look and you go, why haven't I been doing this the whole time? It's so fun. I enjoy it so much. And, you know, that it gets such a great reaction. I get to have fun with it. So really excited about it. Yeah. A few NWA guys on the show as well, which will be great. We'll just have a good time.
I always track like other events, not WWE, but like other shows to see how well they're doing. And every year, and a couple times a year now in Chillicothe at these shows for big time wrestling there, man, they just kill it. The crowds and everything. It just shocks me, but they have an awesome audience over there in Ohio.
They have a great audience, super, super into it. Real mix of people, like pretty hardcore wrestling fans, and then family type atmosphere. But it's a great show. It was a show I was really kind of happy to have my kids at. And it, you know, it's a nice show. Lots of good wrestling, lots of fun. It was a really welcoming kind of fun locker room. It was really nice for me back in September, being honest, back in a locker room and being very, it was very relaxing and very, just a good time. Great venue. I mean, really, really pretty campus. I think it's at the university there, and it's a lovely big open building and arena and nice setting. It's just kind of perfect, to be honest. Good Chipotle on the way home as well, so that's always good. So I think my wife and I might stop there for a dinner. Not exactly a romantic dinner, but that'll be fine. So hopefully I'm in good shape. So, but I'm really looking forward to it. Those kind of events are just really enjoyable, and from the wrestler standpoint, you know, it's really a day off. It's a fun time, a great crowd, great during the day, the meet and greet, super busy. So very impressively run operation there. So had a really good time. So I'm really looking forward to it.
It's one of those big conventions over there in Ohio, really big wrestling conventions anywhere, because the fan fest, then the show, then the Q&As. I mean, they do it right.
Yeah. They run a good ship. They're in a tight ship, which is good as a pirate. You know, I haven't got to administer any beatings really. So it'll be a good time, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I'm looking forward to being back in full on pirate mode and getting some pictures with some people.
Of course, go to Brown Paper Tickets and look up the Reunion 3 Cavalcade of Legends, or just find World Classic Professional, Big Time Wrestling on Facebook for all the information. But it's interesting, Chipotle. I just had Chipotle the other day. It's good, some great stuff there.
It's always a good go-to. That came to me because I remember driving home from it last time and being like, oh, I didn't eat all day, I'm gonna get some Chipotle. Not that food is like my first thought, but I was like, oh, that'd be really good. So
Hey, it's always fresh, so you're always getting good food there.
Absolutely.
Now, with you and that pirate gimmick, that is just hilarious to me. I always remember back, and I can't find it online, but maybe I got to look harder. There was a segment, I think it was you, Palmer Cannon, Super Porky, and like Mr. Kennedy, and like all hell breaks loose, basically, in the back there. I don't know if you remember those times with Porky and those guys.
it was the introduction, and we shot it a couple times, and they're sort of, you know, of course what you don't see is the behind the cameras where everybody is sort of lined up watching and just kind of watching this absolute, I'd say controlled chaos, but that would be kind of giving it more credit than it should get for just chaos. And I'm standing there, and there's the Undertaker standing there just laughing. And we did the take, and Mr. McMahon pulls me aside, and he said, "Well, it's really good." He said, "But do you think it's too funny? You know, do you think you should be funny?" And I look, and there were a few times with that where I looked, and I'd say something to him, be like, "What?" And I go, "I'm dressed as a pirate, and we have small people, and I'm cutting through with a sword here. What? How can we not make this funny?" So, well, just because, you know, I think maybe you should be serious first, and then be funny. And I just am like, "Oh no, that's this is not a serious thing here. This
yeah,
is I'm literally my wife spent the week on the phone to museums, and it wasn't quite as easy then to get pirate gear. You know, she spent literally the week on the phone to museums and all the, I think somewhere in Las Vegas she got the jacket from. It was just, and I'm like, yeah, this isn't like serious. This should probably be funny." So that was kind of when one of those moments where I looked and went, no, it should be funny, because I think I legitimately think I'm a pirate. Like I've gone a little crazy. So
yeah, what's going on with Vince? What's he thinking? I mean, how could it not be funny with everything going on there? It was like you said, pure chaos.
Pure chaos when it was presented to me to go, is it Royal Rumble actually? And I went and found the boss and was like, you know, I understand you have an idea, and he told me about it, and I just went, you want me to be like Keith Richards? And I knew at the time that it was based, and he goes, "Yeah, but you dress as a pirate." I'm like, yeah, I mean, totally, that makes sense. So kind of ran with it, but would have loved to have done it more, would have loved to have, you know, been able to continue it, but I think not sure the bigger company than WWE was not too happy about it. So that's where it went.
Meaning like Disney, because it's, yeah, Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it was Disney, so it wasn't gonna keep going for too long on like network TV. So it's a shame. It's fun. The plan was to evolve it, you know, make it more edgy, make it, you know, but still be a very like very child and directed character, you know, just a fun kind of underneath babyface one there, you know. I it's a lot of the time, and you know, a lot you see stuff now and you're like, oh man, that's well planned out. At the time, you know, a lot of things were just kind of on the fly and you weren't communicated to with a lot of things. I mean, the rope, the entrance on the rope, I had no idea of that until the day I was doing it, and someone comes to the locker room and goes, "Man, your rope's awesome." And I thought he was ribbing me, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "This is your rope." I'm like, "I haven't got a rope." It's like, and I walk out to the arena, and there's this 75 foot rope hanging from the ceiling, and I'm like, "Oh, I really do have a rope, cool." And went and did it, burned my hands the first time going. That's where I realized that you had to wear gloves as you fast rope down, but yeah, that was kind of how things were kind of going. It was fun, good time, enjoyed it.
What was the experience like with the rope though? Were you scared after they told you? Yeah,
so you had to go, into the back, and there was a part in the back where Ray would go, was kind of his to go to do his jump up through the stage there. So that's where I kind of go through, and there was literally like a janky ladder up behind the thing. I mean, I was like, oh, this is so OSHA safe, I'm sure. Obviously, I wasn't aware of that at the time, but I was like, I'm not sure we've passed all the inspections here. But I would go stand up, and I used to joke and go, "Oh, you're killing my pop," because I had to stand up there for about a minute so the crowd would see me, and then it would pan to me, and I'd do the entrance there. But you just had to, each arena was completely different, so it depended on the length of the height of the roof, the ceiling. So because they would drop it from the ceiling, whatever arena it was. So depending on the height of that ceiling as to like how long that rope was. So you didn't know until you swung out how you were going to time it to land on the walkway as opposed to in the middle of the crowd. And some of them were longer, like you had to kind of push off and swing out and over. So that was always a thing. And I just kind of, just for fun, used to just wing it live as opposed to practicing it. I just used to be like, we'll just see how this goes. And I would just fast rope down and drop down to the floor. So yeah, it always went well. My favorite was coming off a double-decker bus at Wembley. That was cool. Completely unsafe when I think about it now. I'm like, well, gosh, I could have really actually not have survived that. That was quite a different experience. So, but it was fun times. We enjoyed it.
So it's almost like it looks awesome. It could be cool, but it's not necessarily the safest thing in the world.
Well, disaster strikes, yeah, basically. But I enjoyed it. It was different and everything. And yeah, it was kind of cool because that was always the joke. Oh, you should swing in from the ring. I couldn't quite work out how they would do that, how that was going to be possible. Because you think of like swinging into the ring, you know. I always thought like a we call them death slides, but like a one of the things you slide along would have been cool, and kind of like suicide used to do, you know, in TNA. Yeah. Until I realized their idea was much better and much safer, and less chance of going wrong. So I was fine with the rope there, but it was cool. I really enjoyed it, but yeah, it was just more fun to wing it at the time and see how things turned out, see where I landed there.
Right. It's like the American Gladiators had that track that you can go across.
That's right, exactly.
Now, where does that actually come from? Like the pirate gimmick itself, like you said, somebody just brought it up to you, or like whose idea is it? Where does it kind of emanate from?
I was with Steve Regal tagging together, and we were kind of in a bit of a, I'd say, like loaded tag division, and we were kind of there, but not really involved in anything particularly. Sort of Eminem were the sort of the main bad guy team, and that, and so kind of pecking order wise, we were in there sort of a worker team, and I would have liked to have done that longer. But you know, when I was initially signed, and when I worked for them briefly in developmental before I went up, I'd been working as a babyface, and one of my traits when I was hired was that I was a, you know, heavier, bigger guy that could move well in the air and aerial. You know, nowadays you see the stuff people are doing is just completely, you know, stunning. Like they're just what people can do now, but. And that was kind of one of their thought process was, well, let's showcase his athleticism more, which I wanted to stay doing what I was doing. I was enjoying it. I was kind of settling in well, and I felt we had really good chemistry and could have run with that for a while. But it was kind of felt not rushed, but like I would have just liked to have stuck around as a kind of British heel, kind of very stereotypical. But it was fun because I was with Steve Regal, who was just great to work with, great to have as a partner, great to have sort of in your corner and obviously get advice from. And so they sort of seemed to be trying to look and go a bit more character based. Boogie had come in, and it was kind of like it made sense to have a more of a you know, just kind of how Scotty Too Hotty comes out, and he's, you know, he's just this fun kind of thing. It's a very known gimmick. I think the idea was to be sort of, you know, an under baby face that was you know, that would sort of get that pop each time, you know, no matter what kind of was going on at the time for them. It would kind of work well with that, and you know, merchandising wasn't quite as, they weren't quite as on it with merchandise now. Sort of everybody has a t-shirt and everything. And I think that was an idea for that, but it just kind of it didn't get its legs before its legs were kind of cut out from under it a little bit. But it was fine. Everything worked out fine in the end. And you know, with anything in wrestling, with anything, well, anything in life, really, it's always going to happen for a reason, and always takes you down a particular path. And that path led to me having the most fun I ever had in wrestling was when I was that time, you know, that stint in OVW, which was just great. And you really learning your craft and learning from your learning from like Al Snow at the time and not as much stuff that would you were going to directly apply to WWE at the time and everything, because you can't see the forest for the trees, because it's like, oh, just that's the thing. But it was always the intention of I'm teaching you to work, I'm teaching you so that in 15 years you're still working. And lo and behold, it's goodness me, you know, you learn to listen to the experienced people, because usually they're right in the end, and I can say was so. That's kind of that, you know, that led to me down that path and everything. And it was just fine. And, you know, when it was time for me to get out, it was absolutely 100% the right time. You know, it was just ready for it. I'd had a brief, time where before coming, there'd been different, plans and ideas and shelved at the last minute. I had going to come in as part of the new breed in ECW, which was kind of my preferred thing. Was to come in there as kind of one of the enforcers there, because the Ripper thing in OVW is going really well and kind of would transfer pretty well, you know, if presented, and you know the work was there. But I had also done a time where I spent the summer. I think it was with the SmackDown brand. It was myself and Dave Taylor tagging together for the whole time. We did a couple of international tours. That was fantastic. First off, just a wonderful person, great person to wrestle with, to travel with, just not even the knowledge is unbelievable, just as a person, as you know, how much fun you have, but how much fun we had in the ring and how easy it was. You know, we would literally just insert babyface team, whether it was Festus or Ray or the Majors brothers or so, like it would be, and we did it. We come out opening match as the national anthem was playing. How we come and interrupt it to sing our own version of the national anthem. Just the hatred coming off the crowd, especially like in the South, and then they interrupt and away we go. And it was like spoon feeding. It was so good, so easy. We were good together. We had gone to them and said, you know, we want to be in this team. And the consensus was that they wanted me as a singles guy, and that's kind of where we were with that. And but I would have loved to have we were looking at options of not with that company, of how we could get out at the time and possibly do what we were doing, because it was working so well and it was so easy, and it was transferable to whichever TV show at the time. But we were kind of a little tied into where we were and sort of rode that out. But it would have been nice to have presented that as a sort of a full-time thing. But that was okay. It was a good time. We had fun. Did a couple of really fun tours and enjoyed ourselves.
Almost like a new age Blue Bloods when Regal and Taylor were together in WCW. Yeah.
Yes. And it had been, I think it was going to be actually, was going to be me and Drew with Dave in our corner. And then like, I remember hearing about it maybe the week leading up. That actually they were going to go with him in singles, I think with Dave initially. I think his run there on TV was kind of short-ish. It was kind of didn't last too long, and then he went away for a little bit. But that was it. I was with Aaron Stevens at the time at the gym, and I got the call, and I was like, oh, that sucks. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, that you know, some. You know, we'll do something else, but I was looking forward to tagging up with Drew. So you know, as anybody that knows, loves him. He's great, and he's a great worker, and he was just fun. So that would have been fun to do, and especially with Dave with us, and that would have been quite a rabble traveling, I'm sure, together. So that would have been a lot of fun. We had some stories there, but that was kind of what it was. But wasn't too bad.
Hey, and Drew is doing pretty damn good right now on TV. He's on fire right now. He might be their best character.
Oh, he's just an absolute unit. It's just ridiculous. He's so good. Just tight and looks like a killer. Looks like a killer. It's great. Really like it. Really enjoy watching him. You know, certain guys you just make a point of trying to see and trying to watch and everything. He's definitely one. He's probably that for a lot of people where they're like, oh, I'm gonna watch this. This is gonna be good. It's gonna be something. Something's gonna happen here. So, yeah, he's killing it. It's been great resurgence. I love, you know, and I stepped away from wrestling for so many years and everything, and really didn't have any knowledge or didn't follow anything whatsoever. So I was very, once I started tuning back in and just seeing things, I was like, oh, that it was real. Some of the stuff was really surprising. I just was like, oh, this person. And I just had really no, I didn't recognize a lot of people and everything. But, you know, when these guys go away, and it's so cool that there's the whole environment now where somebody can go and now make themselves, reinvent, make whatever it is, make themselves a star, whatever, or just change things up. And they can do it without being attached to just the one place. And that was always the thing. You know, there was only really the one main place that we saw so you were kind of, you know, have this and eat it. And you just were kind of like, okay, kind of thing. You know, had the environment been different when I finished up in 2010, I'd have probably stayed in longer and had other options that I saw as viable options for myself that I would have wanted to do. You know, it wasn't appealing to go and go to Japan 8-9 times a year. It wasn't at the time, TNA wasn't really something I was looking at, just because I was coming off WWE TV and I just didn't feel like I at that time would have a ton to offer, and it wasn't something that interested me. I was a little done with, you know, wrestling in general, and not in any kind of really bad way. I was ready to start moving on with my life and doing other things, and that's just the direction and decision I made. But now you see, you know, I was in Fort Lauderdale for NWA maybe a month ago, and I caught up with Matt Cardona, who we were real close in WWE, and I was just like, I'm just killing it, doing great, everything. But guys do that, you know, like Drew had done that, where, you know, you're cast aside and you're kind of not needed, and then you make them want you. And he's another example of that, of like, they have to have him, you know. It's really cool that there's the amount of work for people out there and experience getting on TV. Like, you know, I go to the NWA TV tapings now, and I'm just, it's so well run and so professional and such a breath of fresh air. And, you know, for me and some of the guys that were, say, in WWE together, they always called it, and Trevor Murdoch called it almost like the WWE PTSD. He said, you can't believe this is okay. This is good. This is an incredibly welcoming locker room. But from a different perspective, you've got guys that say have done some things previously, but then you've got guys that are kind of on the way up and girls that are on their way up. And it's just this ability to be on TV, be used to working cameras, be used to a TV format. It's like I said, it's very well organized with very schedulized, you know, and how it should be, because it's a professionally run operation. And it's such good experience for people now that they can go to these companies that are filming TV, whether it's for an app, whether it's for a streaming service, whether it's for pay-per-view or whatever it is, any of these independent promotions that are doing it. But it's just this great experience that people can get, and then transfer that eventually, and hopefully build their resume and just kind of get that knowledge and everything. It's really, really, really a good thing. And the whole environment's great. It really is.
Just talking to my buddy last night, Dr. Tom Pritchard. We were talking about the NWA on the CW app, how easy it is. Because sometimes Peacock, when you go on there for WWE, you're like, oh, God, which one is it? And what year? Like, I don't know, it's a pain in the ass. But I was just fooling around with the – it was
on Peacock, free, by the way. And I'm going, oh, Premier League or not Premier League. I'm going to watch Premier League. So when the times when I do get to, I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to watch football. So it's great. CW app, it's free. Like, they literally – you – take 2 seconds, download the app. I mean, why wouldn't you? Then you've got it. You can Tuesday morning, it comes on around 9 o'clock and you've got it and you just sit and watch it. It's just cool. It's just a completely different look. The whole presentation's different. You know, it goes, you know, I heard someone talking about this months and months ago, and they said, you know, people generally, not really like our attention spans, not really there anymore. No, it's not that. It's that we have, you know, I'm a father of four children. I run households, and I just kind of, I don't want to sit and watch. I mean, I don't really have a super interest to watch a ton, but an hour long show, 4 or 5 matches, I'm gonna get that in somewhere, especially on an app. And actually, them being on the app was it's a great thing. First off, it's a bigger audience, but it's made it so easy. You can sit there on your phone watching it. You know, it works out really well. And they, like I said, it's a different product. There's a heck of a lot of talent there. There is some really talented guys and girls there that are working their butts off, and they keep bringing, you know, they keep building that roster. They, you know, little add-ons, you know, here and there, some experience levels, some new and up and comers. But like I said, if for some it's a, say, I hate to use the word stepping stone, it's a great place to kind of learn things and kind of present themselves to maybe move on, and a great place for your guys that are just wanting to, you know, do something, you know, good quality, good people, great locker room, well-run company, excellent support staff. You know, you go there and you feel like you're part of a wrestling company, you know, a professionally run wrestling company. It's really good. I would push anybody to seek it out and give it a try. It's different. It's the way it's presented. It's got the grittiness and it feels like an NWA event there. I love it. Like I really enjoy. I enjoy being there, and that's why I signed on with them, and that's why I've committed to being with the company. Thankfully, you know, they gave me an opportunity to kind of showcase, you know, where I was at. I mean, I had some people pulling for me in the company just to kind of come in, and I wanted to kind of give it a go again, you know, I took some years out there, but felt like I had a lot of wrestling left in me. And I'm really enjoying it, enjoying the matches. You know, you watch NWA and you're going to see two dudes or four or two girls, what a fighting, like they are fighting. It looks like a fight, and it looks like you've got men on all the companies, but it looks like you got some gritty men in there hitting each other hard. And it's pretty appealing. I could see that being appealing to, you know, wrestling or non-wrestling fans, because they're like, okay, well, this looks like these two really are, like, you know, hurting each other. And, you know, sometimes we are.
Absolutely. How did you get into the NWA anyway? Like, did Billy scouting you, or what was going on?
I had a few people there, you know, stay friends with a lot of people in the business, even though I stepped away myself. And, you know, a good friend of mine, Kevin Keenan, his referee there. We were in WWE together. Fantastic referee, just like fantastic referee. Needs to be showcasing it. Aaron Stevens, and then a couple other guys I kind of met through people that were kind of within the company, and just kind of just put a feeler out, really, and said, you know, is there much interest? I had spoken to Aaron a few years before. He had kind of reached out to me about possibly coming in for a short little start. Nothing was like in concrete, but said, what would be your thoughts? And I think it was to work with somebody for a few shows, to just, they needed a, you know, big, you know, just a heavyweight that could move, kind of thing. and it didn't actually pan out. But I kind of, I became aware of the product and just found it really their, some of their like docuseries on like Tim Storm. And that was just so interesting. It was so well produced. The production of the production of their general TV product is so high and so well done that you can't help but be impressed, but kind of reached out and said, what are your thoughts? And then got, was, you know, I had spoken to, I had communicated with Mr. Corgan some years before when he was involved with TNA, when I was kind of thinking about maybe seeing if there was some, I liked the schedule. I could still, cause I work full time. In the medical field, But I'd reached out and said, you know, what would be your thoughts? And I had sort of some ideas. And creatively, I've always been very kind of had a lot of good ideas and be creative. The creative process for me, that's something I would have liked to have moved into more. And then, you know, it was a case of yes, you know, come down and we'll see. At the time, the timing wasn't going to be right. Actually, funny enough, my wife was in the latter stages of one of the pregnancies, so I was like, it's just not the time to be doing this. I was sort of in some pretty pretty heavy schooling at the time, so I just kind of like was like, no, I don't think so. I think it all, I'm just gonna kind of, you know, I don't need to scratch that itch, and then just let it go away. And then I reached out to Mr. Corgan again, and he's so welcoming, and the energy you get from him, and I was like, oh, it's a very, very positive conversation. And then eventually put me in touch with Pat Kenny, who runs their talent relations there, and we kind of put together kind of a plan to come down and have a look. And I got down there, and they had sort of plans off the bat, and it was a short little thing to do, but that, you know, was kind of going to showcase some strengths, and I, you know, they liked what they saw, and you know, we sort of continued on, and then kind of it developed into them sort of, you know, offering me to kind of come on with them, you know, as a sort of a full-time guy with them, which is it works out well, the schedule. It's really good wrestling. It's, like I said, a great company to work for and very well run. And like I said, all of the people that you deal with the off camera are just so professional, and it's just a well-run ship. And you know, we've got in 2 weeks' time, Dothan, Alabama. We've got our Hard Times TV tape in there. Used to be a pay per view, but it's now they'll tape those for their TV show. Power on, it will be on Tuesdays on the CW app. So going into that, that'll be a fun time. So I got that in a couple weeks. And it's apparently like Dothan's a big NWA town, and I know off the bat they sold a very, very high amount of tickets, and anybody wants tickets, nwliveevents.com, just so you know. But that's going to be a big one. I think apparently it's a beautiful arena in there, so it's going to look really nice on TV. No idea what I have coming up there. We just filmed about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, I think it was, at Fort Lauderdale, and the next day we filmed in Tampa for our Power tapings there. So we got those coming up, and I think they'll lead into that event. So I think everything will just kind of flow in together. And I believe we got we'll be in Tampa in April. I think April 13th, I think, in Tampa for a Power taping. And then they've got the Crockett Cup coming up, which is the big 2-day tag tournament. And then NWA 76, I believe it's at the end of August. And they're both at cities that they haven't been held in before. They haven't run in before. So I think they're pretty excited about where they're going to be. We don't know, but I think it'll be somewhere pretty cool. So we're looking forward to that. Good bit coming up with them and everything. So, you know, we're pretty excited, and just see kind of what's in the works for them. And like I said, they're constantly adding to that roster. They're adding, you know, and they're very, you know, they'll, it seems like they'll cherry pick, you know, this person in and bring them in, and you know, we'll see somebody and we're like, oh, they'd be work really well here. So, you know, I'll just, while I'm there and I'm still of use, I absolutely will continue with what I'm doing. You know, we'll just see how that goes and everything. But, you know, they have their three now territories now, so they're bringing back that territory system. They've got NWA Chicago have their first event on the 8th of March. You've got Exodus Pro out of Cleveland, and you've got NWA JCP, which is out in the south there, sort of the Knoxville kind of out that Tennessee area there. So they're it's all coming together for them. I think, you know, there's plans, and you know, always tell people, give it a shot, you know, go, you just tune in and see what you think. So it's really nice to be part of it. And again, it, you know, I use the term dipping my toes back in, and it's fun. It's fun. And as long as I keep enjoying it, I'll keep doing it.
And there's a hidden gem. I feel like they're the national heavyweight champion, Silas Mason, who is kind of the next Terry Gordy, if you will. Although if you look at Iron Claw, he played Terry Gordy, obviously. But I love him. I feel like hidden gem, big monster guy.
Good Lord. I was talking to him a month ago, and we worked with each other, and he's one I'd seen and been like, I would love to work with him. I just love big, throws lumber, just hard hitting, just really great character. I said to him, I said, you're my wife's second favorite wrestler. I said, you might be almost first. I said, you know, but he hits hard. He is very, very talented and hungry and you know, working hard. You know, I know he's March 8th in Chicago. He's on that event. I know he does a lot with JCP. He's going to be one that's going to be hard to knock off the top of the mountain there with that national heavyweight title. It's him and I had a heck of a physical match. I'll tell you, I'm still like feeling some of the after effects of that. I was definitely feeling it the next day. but yeah, he's definitely one, you know, they say one to watch. I mean, watch him now. He's pretty impressive there. That whole Southern Six act is great as well. It's very smooth, very, very good. They've definitely got something going on there. But there's a lot of talent there, but it's not the only hidden gem there. That's why I say to people, I say, watch that. You have guys with the experience level, like, you know, any roster that has like a Trevor Murdoch and Mike Knox, and then you've got like Mecha Wolf, who's worked everywhere. You got Colby Carino, who, you know, you think of Colby Carino being like, oh, he's, you know, he's been around like 15 years. I mean, he's knows what he's doing. It's just a lot of really good talent there. You know, you got Aaron Stevens, you got Blunt Force Trauma, it's just so many people and just so many good workers there, and the people that are working for the good of making the company more. And everything, it's really impressive.
Now, just changing gears for a second, because I know you were obviously big time, a four-time OVW champion. I mean, you were there for a couple of years. You obviously know that land very well down there in Ohio Valley. But have you watched wrestlers at all? Have you watched that documentary on Netflix about OVW?
I haven't seen it. No, and that's terrible. I haven't seen it. I just don't watch a lot of TV. I don't get the chance to. I'm sure at some point I'll watch it. I heard it was very good. You know, my cousin and many other people have seen it, so it's excellent and everything. So I know as a company they're killing it. Like, it is there. You see week after week after week the stuff they're putting on and the people they're using and bringing in and the talent. You know, it's very, very, very impressive there. Like, they're really making that into one of the places to be. And again, it's another example of go there and work on TV. Go and, like, that's where we all learned to do it. That's where we learned more of that territory style of work, because when I was down there, we were working three or four house shows a week and doing TV. So we were pretty busy, you know, but you were going, you know, when I was the heavyweight champ, you know, you're going 35, 40 minutes each night, you know, and you're going with like fantastic guys. You know, you're in with Sean Spears one night, or you're tagging me, myself and Stu, or Wade Barrett, you know, against Colt Cabana and Matt Sydal. It was all these different situations you could be in where you were just getting better and better and better. And you get better by being in with people that are as good or better than you. That's how you get good. But you watch the stuff on OVW and you're like, this is really, really good. And again, if anyone that's got aspirations of making it to one of the big companies or getting seen, like, go work in OVW. Go try to get on their show. I mean, you go and show up with your bags and how or try and get booked or something. But you know, that's where a lot of these people are kind of getting seen and people are knowing about them. You know, they're on there every week. You know, you learn how to work on TV, and it's really growing. And I don't see OVW not increasing their popularity and their product there, because I know they've kind of got things squared away financially and with the right people there. And you have Al Snow running it, so the product's going to be good. The product's going to be good. The product's going to be interesting, you know. And then I believe they brought in Nikki James to help run that women's division, which I know their women's division is pretty good there as well. So it's a pretty impressive looking setup there.
When you were down there, who was the booker? Was it Cornette or Heyman or maybe a mix of both?
Well, very, very first, when I first got there, it was Jim Cornette. Brilliant. Just, you know, very methodical about things. And I'm sure it was probably frustrating for him, where he's being told week after week, you need to get this guy on TV to do this, but it doesn't fit with the, you know, because he's obviously one of those that books out. So, you know, this is going to happen in 6 months. This is going to happen in 3 months. We can't just, you know, we don't just shotgun these things, or we don't just put time into somebody and then they're gone, you know? And I'm sure, I can't imagine how frustrating that would have been. You know, when you got down there, it wasn't just, oh, you, that's great, you're signed, congratulations. You probably won't be on TV for months. You might work some dark matches and you'll work the live events, said, but you're not just going to get thrown on. You know, it doesn't matter who you were and who you are or whatever. If you, there's a plan, and that's how it goes. So, but he's brilliant. He the knowledge and the ability. I mean, imagine having someone like that booking your company. It's going to be a grand. I mean, I know he booked Ring of Honor and it was great. Then it was Paul Heyman for a bit, and then he transitioned into Al Snow was booking, which I thought, and I credit Al Snow. I mean, with a lot of my later success was, you know, he gave me the ball, and I ran with it, you know, kind of put the title on me, and in the manner that I did it, you know. I think the first time I won the belt was probably my favorite time, because it was such a heel, such a just a nasty, nasty way of doing it. You know, I think the babyface had chased the heel for months and finally beaten him. But I had that almost Money in the Bank ticket and took it, and it was great. But I enjoyed it. I loved working with Al. I loved it, you know. And it is one of those where you don't need to get a ton of feedback. It's literally you come back and thumbs up, or, you know, give me the nod kind of thing, kind of a lot like it is in WWE, where, you know, you're not going to get a lot and you just get the nod. And, you know, as long as you're getting the nod and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, things will be good usually. But I enjoyed working on it. It was fun.
When you did get called up, who's the person that calls you up? Would it be Johnny Ace at that point? Like, when you do get called up to the main roster?
It's just different times. I mean, you sometimes you'll just get, at the time, like Howard Finkel would call you and say, you have travel for this week. Right. And you said, so a lot of time you're getting called up, but you don't know you're getting called up. You're just being coming to TV, or you're just being on the road. So you'd come off, a series of house shows and then be at the TV event. And then they'll come up to you at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, you're going to debut tonight, or you're going to doing this tonight. And they'd be very kind of laissez-faire about it, which you were just like, okay. But there oftentimes wasn't a ton of, and that, to me, it never felt like there was a lot of thought put into it. It's just like it got brought up and I mean, okay, let's add it in kind of thing. I kind of went like that, you know. But you know, sometimes you just got to go off the fly, and that's part of wrestling. I mean, if you can't you know, do anything on the fly, you're, you know, that's the art of it. You've got to, you know, okay, this is what we got to do. You got 2 minutes and I need you to tell the story, and you start talking and you just start talking. We do it at NWA a lot. It's just these on the fly at the podium or in front of the camera with the interviewer. All right. Yeah. Give me 90 seconds to hit these points, or don't even give you that. And you just go and you just hit it first time or hit it second time, whatever. And that's kind of what you would do. Same thing with matches. You know, I had, when I was coming up and I was just kind of on the road before I had even debuted the first time, I got thrown into a dark match with Jimmy Snuka. But we were given 4 minutes notice. We weren't even dressed. We literally ran to get our, as we're dressing, we're like, and we just went straight out there. And it was one of those where like, oh, that was a test. I think we passed because we had a really good match. So called in on the fly, you know, at a on a dark match on Raw. So, you know, just kind of, you know, you kind of had to, you know, that always got to be kind of ready for whatever they're going to ask you to do and throw out, and always say yes. So that was kind of how it was. You know, sometimes you get whoever was one of the people in talent relations would call you, or sometimes it would be somebody at, you know, you're at practice and you get pulled. I mean, I got pulled from practice in my early times because they said, hey, you got to get home now, go pack a bag. You're getting on a plane to Buffalo tonight, and then you're driving to Toronto to go to do Raw tomorrow. And that was when I think I'd been in the country about 2 months. And I was like, right. So what time do I fly? And they're like, it's in about 2 hours. You got to run back. Pack a bag and get to the airport and go and pick up a rental car. So it was like, oh, okay. So that was a good one. That's a fun time.
Welcome to WWE. Damn, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, just part of, you know, what you did, and you know, and anyone that they'll same kind of thing, and they've all got different similar type stories of just, you know, some of the, but that's just how it is, and that's, you know, obviously being a wrestler, you know, you're going to travel, you're going to do certain things, and sometimes it's in the drop of the hat. Sometimes, you know, you're standing there and they need you to run out there and do a dark match. They need you to run out there and do something. You just got to kind of be ready for whatever, you know?
I always ask wrestlers this because I'm so curious. Do you like being like Paul Burchill, the very serious, you know, the man from England, you know, like the regal type character, the Ripper type character? Not that gimmick per se, but like that tough character. Or do you like more like the pirate stuff, more the comedian stuff? Because, you know, less bumps, easier to work the crowd. Like, which do you like working better?
I've worked a lot of my time in wrestling as a bad guy, you know, when I, for a lot of time, still a lot of time in England, it was back and forth, in Japan a little bit, that was more of a good guy, but really, I've always liked that sort of, funny enough to give you like a sort of, not really a non-committal answer, that more in between, and that's kind of what I was doing in OVW as a ref. I wasn't telling you I'm a good guy or I'm gonna hit hands. I said it was more the circumstances, and I think that's more with modern wrestling. It's the circumstances. What circumstance are you in? You know, and I think a mistake I made when I first became the pirate was that, like, oh, I have to be a babyface. I have to work like a babyface, and so your in ring style changes, and it's not you. So I've made a very specific point of yes, I'm a good guy in the NWA, and I will continue to be. But I'm still gonna work how I work. You know, it's still hyper aggressive. I'm still, if there's an opportunity, I'm gonna take it. I'm still gonna do that. So I kind of like both, but I do enjoy. I've always enjoyed as a bad guy. I like to interact. I always enjoyed the interaction with the crowd, and I like to wind people up. And I think I work well as a bad guy because of my aggression. You know, I injured my knee while in WWE right at the start of the pirate thing, and it kind of changed my in-ring style, and I had to almost do a 180 with my style. And I just turned up the aggression like tenfold, and I think it stood out. So I enjoy it, but then I enjoy doing like as the pirate, like what I am looking forward to the 9th of March at Chillicothe being the pirate and just enjoying it and embracing it. You know, I think I'm a pretty approachable, nice person in real life, so it's more me when I'm out there, because I'm out there having fun, and I do want to high five kids, you know, I do want to hug the grandmas, and you know, it just kind of it, it's I you know, that definitely plays more into my actual personality. And my stuff in the NWA, you know, it kind of is a nice bridge to that, where I'm not glad hand in and everything, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to try and get the audiences and the crowd and the watching people's respect. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. You know, I want to get your respect, and I want to get you to, you know, be behind me because of who I say I am and who I'm being and how I'm working. So that's kind of the plan. I got a little black thing to the side there. Yeah, on my screen. But yeah, that's kind of more, you know, I'm trying to, you know, it's kind of coming at it from an aspect of, you don't know me. I've been away a long time, you know, for a lot of them, they wouldn't know my past stuff, or if they did, oh yeah, him. I'm trying to now, I've started from ground zero, and I'm trying to, you know, get people to get behind me and respect me. And I'm trying to do it through my work. Yeah, so that's kind of and what I'm going to tell you I'm all about. You know, my whole reason for wanting to, you know, get back into some wrestling to an extent was, you know, I wanted a different legacy of wrestling. I don't look back at a lot of my WWE time. I'm like, oh, I really hit my potential. No, and I walked away. I kind of left the business before, you know, I kind of reached that potential at maybe my peak years. So I'm kind of trying to kind of rewrite a bit of my wrestling story and my journey, and the NWA has been absolutely perfect for that.
As we hit the wind down and head towards the finish, if somebody wanted to look you up on YouTube, which I know is obviously the most popular thing to do these days, and they want to say, hey, playlist of your best matches, what matches should they be looking up for Paul Burchill?
I would say probably I remember at a time where things started to kind of change for me. I'd managed to get myself onto ECW, which is where I wanted to be. Freddie Prinze Jr. was writing for us at the time, and he had pushed very hard for me. And he came in and we were like, oh, it's, you know, he was writing for us and very nice guy, very knowledgeable. And it was stunning, his knowledge of your wrestling history. He's talking about all this stuff in England and OVW. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, and you're doing this right now. And I'm like, this guy's really like up on his, like, he really, this is like a fan and a guy that like knows wrestling. But he said, you know, ECW. And I'm like, yes, please get me to ECW, which a lot were like, oh, ECW. And I'm like, I want to be somewhere where I'm showcased and I've got time. And I managed to get over there. And I was doing a backstage promo every week. I would do something and I would have a match, and a lengthy match. And I'm working with Christian, or I'm working with different people. And I'm like, this is great, because I'm getting to do, this isn't a 6 minute match that's being cut to 2 minutes. I'm getting time here, and I'm really getting to show, you know, Stephanie McMahon was producing all of my backstage promos. And all of the interactions. So I was kind of, it was going really well. And I just was really hitting my stride. I'd hit my stride again as a worker. Like, I was in like a zone. And I remember then they brought me to England to wrestle Evan Bourne, who was kind of real hot at the time as a baby face, and was really kind of on an upward trajectory. And I was definitely being positioned as that guy, I guess, under the main event that you got to go through, kind of, you're going to go through a war kind of thing, which was a great position, because I always saw myself as a good utility roster member. And, you know, I'm going to look after you. It's going to look good. It's going to feel good. You know, you're going to go through a war. And I wrestled him. We went out there at Wembley O2 Arena. And I think we went out with like 11 minutes or something like that, maybe 9 minutes, 11 minutes. And we're kind of coming into sort of we're getting ready to kind of start closing things down. And the referee is like, you guys got 4 more minutes. And he just kept adding time. We went like 26 minutes, I believe, in the end, from what we thought. So it was just kept just adding and going on the fly and going to this match. And I guess Vince was in the back. He was enjoying it so much, he just kept adding time. And I'm just beating the hell out of him. And I mean, I'm killing him. And I just remember it was just great feeling. I got in the back, and he stood up, and he's like, you were like, and his best compliment, he said, you were like a shark attacking out there. And I was like, that's what I'm going for. And then the next week we're at Madison Square Garden and we wrestle each other again on Superstars. And it was a few weeks later and one of the most senior wrestlers had come up to me and we're talking. He's like, he said, you know, apparently you're right on there. You know, you're heading up. And he said, do you know why you wrestled Evan Bourne for the second time in a week, the other week at Madison Square Garden? I was like, no. He said, Vince, apparently he said in the meeting, he enjoyed the match so much, he just wanted to see it again.
Like, wow, awesome.
Okay. And then, so that was where things were really turning for me as a worker there and everything. So it was great. And I really was enjoying things. And then I worked with Hurricane, which was a fantastic time working together. And our Mask versus career match in Philadelphia was
long match too. Yeah,
really, really good match. We just gelled well together. Hot crowd, nice angle and everything. Some of that sort of stuff was good. And then if you're seeing stuff though, CW app NWA.
Yes, check that out. Yes. Of course, NWA, the CW app, but got to mention World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling, the Reunion 3 Cavalcade of Legends, Saturday, March 9th at the OUC Shoemaker Center in Chillicothe, Ohio,
right there. I'll be doing meet and greets, pictures, signing stuff, taking pictures. I'll have a cool backdrop and everything, so it'll be a nice picture to get. And I'll be in all my pirate stuff. And then later in the show, you know, hopefully some people to high five me.
Yes. Check it out on Facebook, of course, for Big Time Wrestling Reunion 3 Cavalcade of Legends, or go to brownpapertickets.com. Where can everybody find you, by the way? Where are you on socials? I see Instagram. Where else?
Yep, at Real Birchall. And then I do have Facebook. I had to put up the link there. Do you know what? My son runs all of that, and I'm not sure of what the actual thing is for it. But I'll put it all up. But at Chillicothe, I know I'm going to have information on how to access all of that and merchandise, T-shirts. We're bringing out, I got a new logo, and then we're doing a couple of different things. And I've got some new different 8x10s to do at Chillicothe on the 9th of March. Be there, Big Time Wrestling, Chillicothe, Ohio. It'll be a lot of fun. Some pirate 8x10s and stuff. And then obviously pictures and everything.
Nice. And maybe they'll get a chance to see a descendant of Blackbeard the Pirate when they go to Ohio. So
if they go, they will, for sure.
Paul, thank you so much for all the time today. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.